You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise podcast. Provisionally sponsored by DraftKings Sportsbook and Daily Fantasy. So if the DraftKings people are listening, listen to how good I did that. Maybe they should renew our sponsorship again this year. Anyway, it's the Bears podcast. It's back. And we have changed up the cast a little bit. Now, you may know there's a writer's strike in Hollywood. So Mike Pusateri didn't want to cross the picket line. So we have Scab Mike Pusateri. Mike Prasnowski is joining us literally from his mother's basement. It's quite a commitment to the bit.
Yes. I go full on with the podcasting bit of podcasting from my mom's basement. Yep. Happy to be here, Andy. Thank you for the opportunity. Oh, hey, I see Mike Pusateri right there. He did cross the picket line.
Oh, thank God. This shouldn't count. We're not part of the AMTPT.
We are not.
You're not on strike against us.
I'm not on strike against. Yes, we are in no way related to the AMPTP, fortunately. So yeah, we're in the clear.
That's great. Great to have you back. This is year three, right?
Year three. Yes.
They said it wouldn't last. This is year four of the podcast. It fired everybody after the first year. And Praz, you of course are now a veteran of the podcast process because this is not your only podcast.
This is not my only podcast. This past July, fine folks over at the Chicago Sports Bums reached out to me. They had mainly been a White Sox site, but they wanted to expand over to the North Side and get some Cubs people involved. So myself and John Oliva, we host a weekly Cubs podcast. Sorry to give you some competition there, Andy, but you have to go.
Sorry, I forgot. You're off.
A scab and a competitor. What is happening?
Exactly. Hey, you know what? I bet everyone listening to this already has at least a couple Cubs podcasts that they're listening to. So why not add one more? We record on YouTube once a week, either Sunday or Monday, depending on our schedules. But that's on the Chicago Sports Bums YouTube page.
Well, good. Well, happy for you. And I'm glad to have you join us for our weekly nonsense this year.
Absolutely.
Mike, do you have any? Are you going to be making any appearances with a sign that you'd like us?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, you might see me with today. There was a picture of me and a cow at the Warner Brothers picket lines. So that was kind of fun. Basically, all I got now is occasional picket line photographs and stuff from my dog. So yeah, Why not check that out while the strike is going on? You don't want to miss that content.
Who doesn't love dog content?
Everybody should love dog content. So Twitter is at Mike Pusateri. Threads, I guess, I think that's I am Mike Pusateri. I don't know. And Instagram is I am Mike Pusateri. So yeah, how many more other Mike Pusateris are there really? If you're trying to find me, I'll show up.
And of course, if you have found this podcast, then you know where to find this my podcast, because they're all in the same spot, Pointless Exercise. And the Pointless Exercise newsletter, with the Cubs march to the playoffs, there's a sale. The newsletter, 20% off through September 11th. Hopefully the end of the sale and the date don't portend anything awful. I didn't think of it, but I did it for like 2 weeks.
2001 all over again, Andy.
That's right. But then, so who would have the Sammy role this year and come back and hit a home run? And Mike Napoli will have to hide a flag in his pants for him when he runs around the bases.
Exactly.
Well, it won't be Alexander Canario, that's for sure.
Ah! Hey, he got in a bat today.
I heard that. I didn't see it, yeah. He's been up a month.
Yeah, I don't think he saw any of Camilo Duvall's fastballs either. They just all kind of went by real fast, and it was over. But that's for another podcast. So we are we're recording this on Wednesday. We are at the precipice, big word, of the NFL season. What are we on? 100. This is 103rd NFL season, I think, if my math is correct. Then the Bears ring in the 100th with the worst Bear-Packer game franchise of all time. Yeah, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we are going to preview what promises, it can't be worse, a much better season than the one we endured last year. Although last year, Mike Pusateri and I, we talked about it. All we wanted was it to be fun.
Yeah.
We knew it wasn't going to be good. We wanted it to be fun. And honestly, there were a lot of weeks with Justin Fields. It was fun. And it served its purpose. Sure. They lost 14 games, ended up with the number one draft pick, and turned that into a pile of stuff. And well, we'll see some of that stuff on the field on Sunday as they face the Packers again.
Yes.
So I decided I needed to come up with a hack bit to kick off the season, and I came up with the hackiest one. It's another provisional sponsor. I live in Rockford, Illinois, and of course, if you've been to Rockford, you know that the best Mexican restaurant in Rockford is this tiny little place called Taco Bell.
Bong.
And they have when you order your food, they try to throw sauce packets at you, sometimes literally. And they come in different amounts of spiciness, and they start at mild. Then I remembered the old days when they were medium, and apparently there is no medium anymore. So we're going to try to bring medium back. Then there's hot. Then there's fire, and then there's Diablo. So I gave homework to the mics, and we each have 5 takes of increasing spiciness, starting with mild, working all the way up to Diablo, and we're going to reveal those spicy takes for you now. People are already, I can hear the eyes rolling. Be careful if you're driving.
I think we just lost Sweden.
But this is the thing, yeah. Well, hopefully not Belgium. We're big in Belgium.
Huge
citizen Dick.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with the mild, and I will go first, mostly so you don't steal my take. My mild take is that Justin Fields this season will become the first Bear quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season.
That'd be nice.
That's a mild take.
That's a mild
take. My goodness. Oh, you're going to get quite spicy.
17 weeks. He only has to average 235 passing yards a week to get to 4,000. Last year, I think he averaged like 26. So it's pretty close. But that's my mild take. They're going to get better from here. Justin Fields, first Bear ever, 4,000 yards. Jay would have done it, except he broke his hand on a helmet 1 year.
Right.
Eric Kramer came close in 95, but nobody did it.
Right.
And there's another stat coming later, which will just reinforce the passing incompetence of our Chicago Bears.
Wow.
All right. Well, as the returner, Mike Pusateri, would you like to reveal your mild take?
Yeah. So my mild take is also a Justin Fields related take. and that is that Justin Fields will run for less than 1,000 yards this year.
We can only hope.
I hope. Well, there's two ways to go about that, Mike. Yeah, again, I hope it's because, right, that he stays in the pocket more and is looking to throw the ball more downfield. It could be because he gets injured, because the offensive line is just an injured ball of mess right now. Mm-hmm. So that's my mild take. Justin Fields, less than 1,000.
I feel like we can agree that, last year they basically salvaged the salvage isn't even the right word. They made the offense watchable by putting in a bunch of run plays for him.
Yeah.
And you can't do that because you're going to kill him. It's fun. Yes, you can have a few. We need a smattering. Yeah. He has that ability. You want teams to have to account for that.
You do.
But you can't be loading him up. If he's running 20 times a week, then we're going to see a lot of Tyson Bagent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As much as I love me some Tyson Bagent, I don't want to see any of it, except for in the fourth quarter when the Bears are up big. I want to see him running around, but that's the only time I want to see him. All right, let's go.
Exactly. Yeah. Brad, let's have everything wrapped up before we see Tyson Bagent. Exactly. Yes. My mild take, I'm going to go off the field with this one, but sometime by the end of this regular season, every mystery involving the Bears' new stadium will be put to bed, and we'll finally have confirmation that they're moving to Arlington Heights. No more rumors about Naperville. No more rumors that Brandon is trying to keep him in the city. Just, we're all set on knowing for sure that when their lease is up at Soldier Field, they're moving to Arlington Heights.
That's good. Any chance that
I like it. I like
any
it.
Chance that the broadcast booth will for the radio broadcast booth will face the field? Because I don't think the current one does.
It doesn't. I think it has the overhang from one of the upper decks. It's right in the face too.
Yeah. Find out. That's why Joniak can't tell us what yard line the ball's at. He doesn't know.
He has no idea.
He's been facing the lunchroom at Soldier Field for the last 22 years. He can't. All right. Here's my medium take. Maybe it's a step back from my but I feel like this is more of a thinker.
Oh, a thinker. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Dante Foreman.
Oh my goodness.
Will get traded at the trade deadline. Because you got Khalil Herbert and Roschon Johnson, and you don't need any Dante Foreman. So he's out of here. He's going to get us a 6th-round draft pick, somebody.
Wow.
I like that. This actually plays into what my hot take will be. So I like where your head's at with this, Andy. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. All that is a thinker. That's interesting. Okay. I like that. Very good. Very good.
All right.
My medium take, I'm going to go to the Green Bay Packers for this one. My medium take is that the entire Packers offensive line will get Lyme disease on a group hunting trip in Wisconsin this November.
I'm going to speak into existence, and
that will help us when we play them in the last game of the season. So that's what I'm going.
I can see it happen.
Yeah.
Any chance that Romeo Doubs falls out of a deer blind? Remember Ned Yost almost died when he fell out of the fell out of the deer blind. They call him blind. Yeah, the deer blind. Even if it's way
deer
up
blind.
Here.
Yeah.
Were Dale Swaim and Robin Yount on that trip with them too? Feels like they always had to be there with them.
Dale was like, God damn it! I guess I'll have to manage the last 2 weeks of the season again. That's an underrated thing. It doesn't seem like a thing that happened anymore, does it? That in 2008, the Brewers were going to the playoffs and they fired Ned with 10 games to go.
Yeah, that is pretty weird.
Gave Dale Swaim the job.
Yeah,
and somehow it wound up working. They wind up squeaking their way in.
I wonder if it'll happen again this year. They can send that ugly little Craig Council out.
That's true. That's true. He's without a contract.
What if Jed just with 10 days to go just said, you know what? David Ross is a moron. We're just going to have Andy Green manage the last 2 weeks of the season. Fired him. I think the Cubs win the World Series if that happens.
I was going to say, we could do worse.
Yep. We could do a lot worse. Sure.
Yeah, as long as we don't hire Pedro Grifol, we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Oh, God, all right. Kraz, your medium take.
All right. My medium take, this is not going to be a favorable take among Bears fans, but I believe that the NFC South is so poor that the Carolina Panthers are going to wind up somewhere in the top two of that division, which will probably put the draft pick that we acquired from the pick in which we acquired DJ Moore somewhere in the teens or the 20s, I would say. It's probably not going to be as good as we would have hoped for.
I like that take. I didn't use this as one of my takes, but I think if the Bears hadn't gotten DJ Moore in the trade, say they did that trade with Carolina and they just got the extra first rounder, they didn't get DJ Moore, mm-hmm. I think the Panthers would have made the playoffs this year. They're actually not terrible. They're not good, but they're not terrible. No. And he's really good, as we know, as we've seen. And, you know, he's only averaging 50 yards a touch in the preseason.
Well, who would they have gone forward with at quarterback, though, if they wouldn't have wound
No, I'm saying if they had made the trade, but if instead of getting the proven player, Poles had simply gotten the third number one.
I gotcha.
Then, and DJ was still there for Bryce to throw to for the 8 games that he's upright. But then, you know, if he gets hurt, Andy Dalton.
Panthers the great Andy Dalton, yes.
I might want to rethink my Super Bowl pick. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so here's my hot take. This has to do with my good friend Matt Eberflus and his preferred side of the ball, the defense. The Bear defense, historically terrible last year. And it didn't help when they traded my favorite player, Bear player of all time, Big Play Bob Quinn. And
you never doubted him.
And Roquas. No, I was always on the Bob Quinn
number one
bandwagon.
Fan. Yep.
Still am, even though you don't want Bob driving the bandwagon he'll way too fast and hit a few parked cars, as happened to him a couple of weeks ago. But he's driving with a brain tumor, guys. I mean, it's not easy. He's had a brain tumor his whole life. It's got every once in a while, I'm sure, it pushes on something and he can't see. But anyway, and then of course they traded Roquan, and they were awful, but they loaded up in the off season. I predict that the Bears are going to double the number of sacks they get this year. They had 20 last year, 40. Last in the NFL. They're going to get 40 sacks. That 40 sacks
okay.
last year would have tied you for 14th in the NFL. You'd have been in the top half of the NFL. And they're going to double the number of interceptions from 12 to 24.
Oh, my. You are all in on the Flus.
I like this.
It's now we get to see the hits principle in full effect, and it's going to be glorious.
Goodness, I hope you're right.
40 sacks, 24 interceptions.
They added Yannick Ngakoue, who hadn't had less than 8 sacks at any point in his career so far. So, you know, you're not too crazy with that one.
And DeMarcus Walker. I mean, they have so many defensive ends that the great Terrell Lewis, my pick to click, made the team first day, second day, see ya.
Yeah.
When the waiver wire picks
like
came
the
in.
Cubs with their, right. They're like the Cubs with their prospects, just loaded with Hall of Famers in the minor leagues.
That's right.
What the Bears are with defensive ends.
Absolutely.
Just loaded with Hall of Famers. Yeah.
All right. Your hot take.
Okay. I have dueling hot takes, but they're both short. Okay. Cole Kmet and DJ Moore will make the Pro Bowl.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
And then just for fun. My other hot take is that Aaron Rodgers will get lice in his neck here at some point. So I'm going to go with that.
That can't be the first time that's happened.
I think both of those are possible. Both are possible.
That is a grubby man there. I don't know. Did you see the last – I watched Hard Knocks for some reason the whole time. There's a good 10 minutes in the finale on the time Aaron Rodgers saw a UFO.
I didn't see it. Okay, I'll have to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
See, yeah.
Is it only a UFO that he saw, though?
Him and another guy. He claims he has a co-witness. It happened right before the draft. It was some buddy of his, and they were in New Jersey before the draft.
Uh-huh.
And they saw a UFO. Uh-huh.
Okay, out in the woods. See, the lice. I'm liking the lice thing.
It was by a nuclear power plant.
I'm feeling good about that.
And, of course, as Aaron says, you know, you often see them by the nuclear power plants. Oh, of course. That's right. You often. You often do.
It is known.
I like to hang out by the Byron nuclear plant's only about 20 miles from here, and I like to hang out there just to watch the UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I try to convince them to give me a Silkwood shower every once in a while just for fun. That's probably way over my head, but that's good. Yeah. I knew you'd get that, Poops. All right.
All right. Hot take time. Yep. All right. Somewhat. I got two as well for hot take. One kind of off kilter, I guess, but the San Francisco 49ers continue to be like very good somehow without a solidified quarterback. As we saw last season with their rotating cast of characters, we saw week one, Trey Lance was there, and then Jimmy G was playing, and then Brock Purdy took over when it came to be playoff time, and then Josh Johnson came into a playoff game when Brock Purdy got hurt. At some point this season, we're going to see the San Francisco 49ers not only start a game, but win a game with Christian McCaffrey starting at quarterback.
I can see that.
Just because their offense is that good that it's quarterback proof. My for real hot take, though, is and this especially helps with Dalvin Cook being cut by the Vikings. Among NFC North running backs, Khalil Herbert will have the most rushing yards.
Nice.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
I drafted him on my in a Yahoo Fantasy League, and I drafted him, and you get the grade when you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, the AI from Yahoo was all over me for drafting Khalil Herbert. In like the eighth round, they went nuts.
I forbid the mention of AI on this podcast.
Well, I'm portraying it in a very negative
okay. Still, I'm very triggered by this. I don't want to hear it.
Get replaced by the AI.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Maybe there is some schlub at Yahoo who literally sits there and has to type the, oh, God, I got to grade another draft 30 seconds after the draft's over. But that's what I got, and they did not like my Khalil Herbert pick. And I'm going to handcuff him I'm going to get Roshan from my bench. I haven't picked him up yet because I figured I didn't need to right away. Just in case. I'm in big on the Khalil Roshan combo for the Bears.
Like it.
But yeah, he rushed for 700 yards last year and wasn't the primary runner. He averaged 5.7 yards a carry. So I can see that. Okay. All right. Here's my fire take.
Okay, this better be spicy now.
This is part trivia. I want to see if you guys. Now, if this was Remember This Crap, Donahue would be all over all three of these.
Okay,
it's just the way his mind works. Do you know who has the. Who has the most receiving yards in a season in Bears history?
Marcus Robinson?
Nope.
Well, it can't be Johnny Morris. He can't have the career and in a season.
Brandon Marshall came close, but he couldn't quite catch this guy who played in the Eric Kramer era.
Ingram.
Yes.
I hate trivia. Ingram. Good, Mike. I like that.
No, Jeff. Sorry, not Ingram. Jeff Graham, 1,300.
Jeff Graham.
Him and Curtis Conway both were over 1,000 yards that year. Eric Kramer was over 3,000 yards. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, you're not going to like this. Do you know who has the record for the most receptions in a season for the Bears? That is more recent.
You know what? I think I remember there was like...
It's 112. It's a lot, even for the Bears. I mean, it's a lot for the Bears. For the Bears, 40 is a lot, but 112.
I remember there being like a year... It was either one of Kyle Orton's last year as quarterback or one of Jay's first, where they set like a record for like most completions to a running back with Matt Forte. Is it Matt Forte?
It is not, but he had over 100 one year, which is
okay.
It's Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall.
118 out of 112. Okay. And you're not going to know this one. The touchdown catch record is 13 in a season, and it's by the great Dick Gordon, 1970. So here's my.
Is it really? That's sad.
Here's my fire take.
That is sad.
In the year of our Lord 2023, DJ Moore is going to break all three records.
Ooh.
Yes.
He's going to set the record for the most catches in a season, the most yards in a season, and the most touchdowns in a season.
Wow.
Put himself at the top of all three.
Okay.
No pressure, DJ.
Okay.
All right. Mike.
All right. Okay, these last two get a little spicy. So, my fire take, is that before Diablo?
Yep, Diablo's the
fire.
The hottest.
Okay. My fire
Jackie
take.
Jackie Gleason to order a Diablo sandwich.
And a Dr. Pepper. Tyler Bagent, the aforementioned future legend, Tyler Bagent.
Or Tyson,
whatever the hell his name is. Will start four games. And win three of them. That's my fire take.
I actually was going one of my takes was going to be I was less morbid or optimistic. I was going to say that he starts and wins a game.
Okay. This is a fire take, Andy. You got to bring it.
Oh yeah, you're right.
It's a fire take.
I'll tell you this: if that happens, Chicago sports radio the next day will be must listen.
That's
for
be,
like
what can we
some
create,
of the hottest
what can
calls.
We get for Fields?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
How many number ones can we get for our new backup?
Right. Oh man,
and I'll be the first one to call. Although I've never called in. How about this? I've never called in to be a caller on sports radio, though I have been a guest.
Oh,
because of Cap.
Cap, and I frequented the Joe Ostrowski Sunday morning show for a while when I was at The Athletic, including one time when I did the show from Puerto Rico.
Oh, look at you.
I was on my second honeymoon, and they called and said, can you do it on Sunday morning? Like, yeah, I can do it. So I called in. I didn't even get credit for it. I remember it was the day after my favorite Cub of all time, Ian Happ, had made his debut the night before. Had a home run against the Cardinals. We talked about that. I made a joke about the going to visit the Yadi Molina statue. And Joe went right over Joe's head. And but yeah, that was but I did it live from Puerto Rico. So there you go.
You said your second honeymoon?
Second honeymoon, yeah.
Second honeymoon, okay.
It was our 10-year anniversary. We went to.
What a row.
Wow.
Very nice. Romantic.
We went to Puerto Rico because we wanted to go to an island. You know, one of us had a passport yet. I'm like, I was going to Puerto Rico. We don't need it.
How long
does it take to get a passport? I just go to Puerto Rico. We don't need it.
To the Puerto Rico or Catalina.
That wasn't around the time when there were hurricanes around there, were there? I remember a big one.
No, but the hotel we stayed at, which we loved, did not. Still there, but it was closed for more than a year because it got that. So.
Alrighty. All right. Fire take. I'm kicking myself right now for not going like less serious than you guys on these, but you know, I'm sticking with just things that I actually could see happening, but I'll give you a pretty bold one here. My AFC East winner is going to be the Miami Dolphins. And a big part about that is that you know, a big drawback for any team from a warm weather city that's like right on the borderline of making the playoffs or an indoor team is that like they might struggle to win games late in the season. Four of the last five games for Miami are at home.
Oh,
so that plays a huge role for them. I and one other quirk in their schedule, they start in LA against the Chargers. After that, they only have to leave the Eastern time zone one time over the course of their entire season.
Wow.
So they're very favorable in with their how their schedule works out.
Well, there you go.
Okay. All right.
The more you know.
Okay.
All right, now time for the Diablo take.
Okay. This I feel like blow this, our doors off.
I feel like this should have been my mild take. Your
mild take was so spicy.
No, but when you hear this one, you're gonna hear this, you're gonna be like, yes, you're not out on a limb.
Okay.
You should be embarrassed for this because it's a guarantee. It's a Diablo. How can it's not just my Diablo take? It's my triple lock of the season pick. It's both.
Okay.
In NFL history, only two kickers have gone through an entire season without missing a kick, and one of them has an asterisk.
I know one.
Gary Anderson did it, and then he missed a kick in the NFC Championship game, and the Vikings were out.
Championship game.
The other one, the idiot kicker from Indianapolis. Mike Vanderjagt, he did make it through the whole season and the playoffs. At the time, did you know this? Here's a little trivia for you. He was dating Rockton, Illinois native. At the time, her name was Nicole Mansky. She's now Nicole Briscoe, who was like the Saturday and Sunday morning. Of course, she's a very, very nice, very attractive woman. Before she married, was it Robbie Briscoe? Whatever. She's some race car driver.
Okay. Some Briscoe.
Gotcha.
Cairo Santos. Not gonna miss a kick. This jacking around last year, he had to miss a few extra points to try to keep it, make it look good, while they were tanking.
Right.
Doesn't have to miss.
Contribute to the tank.
So he's gonna make every extra point. He's gonna make every field goal, which he's 90% last year anyway. Even not even try to make them all. Not gonna miss a single kick for the entire season. I don't know if he'll ever miss a kick again, but I won't go that far yet. I'll just go this just a perfect season for the best kicker in the NFL.
I feel this should have been a medium take. I'm sorry. We're supposed to be way out there on a Diablo, I thought.
Well, yeah, I feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd only be the third time in NFL history.
I'll make up for it, I think, with mine.
Okay, go get them.
There we go.
I'm not saying I want this to happen.
Oh, boy.
This is no judgment. Now, so I'm gonna, I need your guys' help with this. One of the first rules of Improv is never to put your partners on the spot, so I'm going to do just that.
Dick Gordon, the Hits Principle. 1970.
Hits. We all know what the Hits Principle is. What's the H stand for, Andy, in Hits?
Hustle.
Okay. Hustle.
Mike, what's the I?
Intensity?
Yep. Very good. Andy, the T?
It's two things. Okay. It's taking the ball away and forcing turnovers.
No, okay.
It's protecting, not turning the ball over, and taking the ball away. That's what it is.
And at the S, Mike?
The S is speed.
Smart.
Smarts.
Smart. Is play smart. Okay. Here's why I bring that up. The Hits Principle will be out of the Bears lexicon after this season because Matt Eberflus will be fired at the end of the year.
Wow. They're going to fire the coach of the year? Man, that is rough.
I'm just saying. I got him going. Well,
I know you've never. You know you're not a Flus believer.
I'm not a believer in Flus, but I'm just. I'm not saying I want.
How are you
going to
fire the guy after they double the number of sacks and interceptions?
If that happens, I won't. So that's my take.
All right, that's good. Sufficiently spicy.
All right, Diablo take for me. I got two of them. I will go. This will be the last year of Bill Belichick in New England.
Mm.
They're going to finish last. They're not going to be contending at all this season. Either he's going to come up to some sort of agreement with the Patriots that they're parting ways, you know, similar to Joe Madden. You know, we'll have, you know, Robert Kraft getting rub and tugged at the press conference and everything.
Orchids of Asia.
Exactly. I will also say that there will be one game for the Minnesota Vikings this year in which Kirk Cousins is going to miss the game because his service at the megachurch he attends ran too long.
Now, do you both watch quarterback?
Mike, I did not.
You didn't watch
No.
it? You didn't want to be watching it? Okay, I watched it. You should watch. Just watch the first episode. Just Kirk's wife is on a lot. And if you didn't know she was Kirk, if you just met this woman, just on the street, you'd be like, oh, God, you're probably Kirk Cousins' wife. There's just this, she's just like this Stepford, like this blank slate, just kind of pretty, but not really, like dressed like, you know, a school marm. And just,
did she have like the Karen haircut?
No, she didn't. But she also, maybe it's stylish from Minnesota. I don't know. But it was just, I'm like, of course. They showed her. I'm like, oh, of course that's his wife. Of course that is.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, you know, they're going on a Cal Brand on Good Morning Football, and the guys are like, oh, God, you got to really like Kirk after you watch this. It's like, no, he's just the same dork that I figured he was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there was no surprise. It's not like, hey, you know, he's actually cool or he's actually funny. He's not. He's just Kirk. Just this.
He doesn't have any cool UFO stories either, I'm sure.
He doesn't.
No. No, exactly.
No, he'd have to pray that away if he saw it.
I would venture to guess that among every quarterback who's ever received a big contract, he spent the least amount of money of that.
Yeah, he's got more money than they paid him. Just from the interest.
Yes.
He's got it in a low-yield mutual fund, and he's not touching it.
Municipal bonds, Ted. Best investment in America.
All right. Well, good job. I like those. So that, of course, was the Taco Bell provisional sponsorship of the Spicy Takes.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And
We should do this with every
I got a, I have Zelle now. I have you can pay your Apple Pay. I'll take
crypto. You take a crypto.
Checks. They still have. They still Travis checks is still a thing.
What about crypto? Are you on your yeah? You're a crypto account.
I don't.
Send them a money order.
Yeah, that's right.
We should just do every fast food restaurant, and then it's
oh,
a
we got
one
a whole
bite.
Season. Oh yeah, we can just try them all. We can do a tie-in every week on some ridiculous sponsorship.
Next year,
we'll hit on one of them.
Taco John's week two. Yeah.
All right. So now, speaking of hack, we're gonna do the thing that every football preview show in the world is obligated to do. We are going through the Bears' schedule week by week, and we're picking whether they win or lose.
Yes.
Let's go.
All right. Week one. At home against the Green Bay Packers, it's a 3:25 kickoff on Fox in front of Greg Olson and what's the other guy? I can't blanking on his name. It's not Joe Buck.
Fredo.
Kenny Albert.
That's not Kenny Albert.
Kevin
Burkhart.
Chris Myers.
Kevin Burkhart.
Oh, Chris Myers. Good God.
No. Well, let's hope. How about this? This should have been a spicy take. The Bears will play well enough this season to never get a Chris Myers game.
That would be nice. Go edit that.
All right. This one will rotate around. Well, as we do these, we'll rotate around. So each of us can go first sometimes. So not to be, I don't want you guys to be swayed by me making all of my correct picks.
Sure. Right. That's exactly.
Week one, Bears-Packers. They're going to lose.
Oh!
0-1.
You have the coach of the year losing to the Packers?
Just because. Well, we got 16 more after this.
Hey, Matt Nagy did win coach of the year in 2018, and he lost to the Packers.
Oh, that's
week
true.
One.
Good. Here's my fear, right? Now, so the Packers finally, for the first time in 30 years, they do not have a superstar quarterback. They have Jordan Love, who I think is just a guy. I don't think he's bad, although he hasn't proven anything. I don't think he's bad. I certainly don't think he's great. I just think that the Bears, in year two of this rebuild, are still at a slight overall talent deficit to the Green Bay Packers. This, the week one, Bear fans are like, finally, we're finally going to get our, you know, we're going to get our pound of flesh.
Revenge. Right.
And then it's just inevitable that they're going to lose week one. So that's my Mike Busteri.
So I have a question before. Are we withholding our total win total for the season until the end? Is that you want to keep that under wraps?
Well, we'll know as we go through.
Okay, fair enough.
Like I am old.
Right. I was gonna bring it in for context, but I will not bring it in. So I have the Bears winning against the Packers. If they lose against the Packers, this could be 0-17.
If they lose, all hell's going to break.
It's going to feel like 0-17.
They're a one-point favorite at home. That's basically an underdog.
I know, but I mean, there feels like
our friends
so
in the
much,
desert, Brent and like I, Uncle Brent and I, are so the boys.
Thank you, Brent.
Yeah.
We've got them. We know that it's Rome wasn't
it's
built
an
a
out,
day.
Outside's important, so I think there's so much for Bears fans riding on this for the reasons you stated. Really, this is our.
That's why I just expect
best quarterback.
That's why I expect to be disappointed on Sunday,
which is probably what's going to happen. But I got the Bears winning, so I'm 1-0.
Good.
I'm going to go win two.
All right. Good.
I think that looking back to the last Bears Packers game, you had a much worse Bears team versus a probably much better Packers team. With Rodgers a quarterback, as much as we all hate to admit it, you know, they came very close to not just winning that game, but putting that game on ice. If Cairo Santos hits that kick late in the game, the Bears are up two scores. You know, the Bears just wind up taking knees instead of
we know
Justin
what happened,
Fields,
right? He's on his way out, and there's Ryan Poulsen next to him with a 50 going, keep it fair. He knew what his job was. And it wasn't to make
true.
That kick. He was kicking for a right tackle. That's what he was kicking for. And they got one.
They got him.
All right. So Busteri,
I'm sorry to cut you off. How do we all feel about them picking Darnell Wright over Jalen Carter while we're on that subject?
See, I in the moment I was mad. Like, oh, come on. Sure. The best player in the draft slid to you. You have to take that. But it's. I think we're always going to look. It's always going to be skewed now because Jalen went to, like, the perfect spot for him. He went to the Eagles where there's a million Georgia guys that are already there. They're an established defense. They're far much farther ahead than the Bears. He landed in the perfect spot. I think the Bears just thought, this dude is, we can't fuck this up. The percentage that, you know, like if he hits, he's going to be great. But the percentage we could whiff on this because he's a knucklehead is just too high. And we need a right tackle super bad.
Yeah.
So that's I think why they did it. At the time, I was like, God damn, why can't we do this? If you want to bitch, you want to brag about your locker room culture, and you got to take a chance like this. But as more I thought of it, they weren't there yet. Year two of this was not the time to try that. Maybe next year is, if there's a seemingly similar head case that you can get for extra value. Maybe you're at a point where you can do it, but.
But it is an interesting question, Mike. We'll see how that plays out over the season. Because if it doesn't go our way, people are going to be bringing that up a lot. Like,
to me, I mean, it was the right move because, again, like you said, Philadelphia had a much more established culture, and the Bears had needs everywhere, specifically offensive line. They filled it with Darnell right there. Just the thing that annoys me the most is that, like, they couldn't even pry something more than just a fourth round pick in next year's draft as, like, the profit in that trade.
Yeah.
Aside from the pick swap.
So. Well, the thing I loved about Darnell though was you heard the story, right, about he shows up for the full training camp and they run him through the condition test and he's like, God, this was easy. And they're like, what do you mean? And he's like, apparently they gave everybody a chart. And he read the wrong line, and he trained to do the running test that the wide receivers had to do, and he passed it. He did it, and he said he spent the whole offseason going, I can't, this is ridiculously hard. I'm a fucking offensive lineman. Why do I have to do this? And they're like, oh no, dummy, you only had to run. You know, and they're pointing at the other line. Like, oh, so I like the fact he's obviously a good enough athlete that he looked at it. All right, fine, I guess I'll just have to do this, and he did. Yeah. Of course, he came in at 186 pounds, which was an issue. He slimmed down so he could pass the running test. He had to gain 180 pounds in a week, and he did.
Yeah.
But
I'm not sure how good I feel about the fact that he misread that. But
he went to Tennessee. I'm so lucky he can read.
Good point.
All right. We'll start with you, Mike Pusateri. Week two at Tampa. It's a noon Fox kickoff. Hopefully not Chris Myers.
That's right. That could be a Chris Myers game. But no, I have got the Bears, your Chicago Bears, winning and starting the season 2-0.
Good.
2-0, and their coach is going to get fired. How is this possible? We'll get to that later. But yeah, I got him 2-0.
First time that'd be 2-0, I think, since 1986. Right?
No, sounds about right.
Probably not. Actually, one of the Harbaugh teams was 4-0 and then won 8 games, I think. Praz?
I will also go win as well. Early in the season, there's not going to be too much of a weather adjustment going down to Tampa. You know, Tampa doesn't seem to be that great of a team this year. You never know what Baker Mayfield, but they lost.
I think you do know. I think you do know with Baker Mayfield.
That's true.
Yeah,
you do know with Baker Mayfield, but they lost a lot of guys off their offensive line at their center, Ryan Jensen. You know, obviously losing Brady. I'm not sure how much of a loss that is going from Brady to Baker Mayfield, but you know, they don't project to be all that great. So I'm going win for our Bears there.
They went from the greatest of all time to the second greatest of all time with Baker.
Yes.
It's a good hustle. The Bears are going to, they're going to Tampa and they're going to kick their shit out of the Bucks. It's going to be, in my world, this is the big, all right, the world has turned on us now because we lost week one of the Packers. Now we're going to really show it. And they blow out the Bucks.
Okay.
All right, Prez. Here's a tough one. Week three, 3:25 kickoff on Fox at the world champion Kansas City Chiefs and Matt Nagy.
Wow. I can't wait for all the Mahomes and Trubisky graphics with this one, too. Yeah, I'm going loss with this one.
I'll go to me next. I will also I have them going starting off 1-2 with a loss to the Chiefs.
Yeah, that is a loss. That is a loss.
So
definitely,
you guys have them 2-1. I have them 1-2. Okay. Week 4, noon kickoff on CBS. Could be a Jim Nance and Tony Romo special.
Ah.
Against Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, and his just terrible facelift. Why don't people talk about the obvious botched facelifts that Sean Payton has had? Former Bear, Sean Payton. Kind of. Speaking of
Bear. Cab Bear, yeah, thank you. Right.
I have him losing.
Starting I also have him losing.
Mike, you're going out of order.
I'm sorry.
I have him losing too, and I think Denver's going to actually be a train wreck this year. But I think they're going to be a train wreck, even with what's his name. I've got the Bears losing, so we're 2-2.
See, I think they're going to be pretty good. And especially if you guys should watch the Hard Knocks, because Nathaniel Hackett, their coach from last year, is the other. He is a moron.
With the Jets.
I mean, holy shit. I don't know who. I mean, I know they hired him because they thought they were going to get Aaron Rodgers as part of it. That was the only reason they hired him.
Right.
But, when you spend 5 minutes watching him, you're like, yeah, I can see why the Broncos were.
Oh, I hear you. I've seen every episode except for the last one. I'm right with you.
But, yeah. The only thing I liked that they did was they were picking movies for the. For like Zach Wilson, the guys who've never seen him. But one really troubling thing was the Jets call, with any Hackett team calls the red zone the gold zone, because his favorite movie is Goldmember.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
The worst Austin Powers movie.
Yes.
Horrible.
Just
Jeez.
Horrible. Awful. Red flags everywhere.
But The Mentalist, that guy was pretty amazing. That guy was pretty awesome. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it me?
It is. So this is week 5. This is a Thursday night game on Amazon against the whatever they are now. I guess they're still the Commanders until they're
Commanders. Yes, I've got the Bears winning, and they're 3-2 to start the season.
Good job, Prez.
You know what? I'm going to chalk this one up as a loss.
Oh boy,
because I think this is a year where the Washington Commanders take a huge leap forward, especially. They get the entire Daniel Snyder stink off of them. This, you know, they could be a team that surprises some people. And on some short rest for the Bears, I don't think that favors too well. I'm going loss there.
I got the Bears winning it. So I've got the Bears going to 2-3. I've already lost track of what you two have, but I have 2-3.
I'm 3-2.
I'm with you at 2-3.
And I'm 3-2.
All right. Prez, week 6. It is a home game against the Minnesota Vikings. It's a noon kickoff on Fox. Like how I give the network as though that's going to impact the outcome.
Yes. Thank you for that. That'll probably be the Chris Myers game.
If people are setting their DVRs, they can do it now. Right. Yeah.
This is a full-service podcast.
What did he say that was?
Yeah.
The Vikings, to me, this year going into this season, they remind me of a football version of the 2021 Cubs, in that there are still some pieces left over from when they were good, but like they are clearly trying to like get rid of people for whatever reason. I'm gonna go win on this one. I think the Bears this will probably be the biggest blowout game of the season, in my opinion.
The Vikings are literally trying to rebuild while they're and compete at the same time, which I kind of applaud that. I kind of wish our baseball team would have tried to do that. Yeah. I don't understand why you have to get bad to get good again, but they're doing that. And then it's not really a secret. This is it for Kirk, right? They're just playing out. This is the last guaranteed year on his deal. I also have the Bears winning this. I am getting back to 500. And now the Fluce has righted the ship.
So I've got the exact opposite take. So we've got the Bears. You get the Bears 3-2, feeling good, 10 days to prepare. Vikings coming at home, should be a win. This is a Bears loss, and this, for me, is when the season starts to come off the wheels. Because they were thinking we should win this game. We should just win this game for the reasons you guys spoke of. It's a loss, and the Bears drop to 3-3 and Trouble is ahead.
Is Amir Smith-Marset going to get the ball stolen from him again? As they're driving for the game-winning field goal.
That's a painful memory.
That was kind of, remember doing the podcast after that game. It was a loss, but that was a loss that kind of felt like a win because Justin threw the ball so well. Like, it was our first kind of sign. And that was before they redid the offense. That was kind of like the last gasp of the, we're going to try to run just a conventional offense this year with no wide receivers and no line. And it almost worked against the Vikings. The Vikings won the most one-score games in NFL history last year. So they're
they had a negative point differential at the end of the year.
So they're a trendy pick to go under because everybody's like, you're not going to do that shit again.
Right.
All right, I think we're back to me. This is week 7 is a home game, noon on Fox, against the Las Vegas Raiders. And I have the Bears. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's healthy, which, let's face it, by week 7, no chance Jimmy's healthy. But if he's healthy, it's a homecoming of sorts for, Hoffman Estates? Is that where Jimmy's from?
Rolling Meadows.
Oh, Rolling Meadows, even better. I have the Bears winning, going to 4-3. Mike Pusateri.
Even though the wheels have started to come off, the Bears win this game because the Raiders are just so bad. So I also have them 4-3.
All right.
I'm also going 4-3 as well. That's a win. I had to pause there for a second because I'm keeping like a tally myself here of what everyone's doing. I was expecting Pusateri to say a loss
just
right there.
Telling us how the season's in the shitter and it's irretrievable.
Yeah, you guys guess?
He's like,
All my takes are Diablo.
He's like, well, it's in the shitter. It's just not Vegas shitty. It's just regular shitty.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
All right, Mike Pusateri, week 8 at the Los Angeles Chargers in front of Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth on NBC at 7:20.
Yes, and probably me. I think I will go to that game. Oh, you guys should come out. We should get the DeCipio suite.
Yeah, we should.
Yes.
We'll talk to Stan.
Let's do that.
See if he can
get Stan on the line. Let's hook us up. I've got that as a loss against the Chargers.
All right. Also got that as a loss. That it'll definitely be a majority Bears fan crowd out there. But, Justin Herbert, Bears aren't good enough to beat him yet. Going loss.
I also have that as a loss. I have a bonus hot take. You talked to you. One of your Diablo take, I think, was Bill Belichick gets canned.
Yes.
So my hot take is the Los Angeles Chargers coach in 2024 is Bill Belichick.
Oh.
They'll hire him, and he'll love it because he's a Navy boy, and there's a Navy town, and he's got a stud quarterback, and a defense that should be a lot better than it ever is. So that's my pick. Bill Belichick.
I see the pieces coming together.
He's going to look great in powder blue, too. You know, he's going to love it. You know, he'd still wear, like, a radial Patriot sweatshirt on the side. He'd just, like, cut the logo out of it. He's just got like this navy sweatshirt with a hole in the middle of it.
Well, it's going to turn even darker to like dark black with how much he sweats through that thing, though.
All right, Praz, week 9. This is a noon kickoff in New Orleans on CBS.
In New Orleans on CBS. Oh my God, this is a tough one because like. You don't know what you're really getting with the Saints. Just my instinct, like, they've had trouble in the dome there in recent years. I know they're not facing Drew Brees this time around, but I get a little uneasy when it comes to the Saints. I'm taking a loss here.
They won a Super Bowl in that dome.
A little before my time.
Greatest day in Bear history was in the Louisiana Superdome.
Yes, it was.
I changed my mind. I originally had them winning. I looked at it. I felt like they had too many wins. So I changed it to a loss.
I like that.
4-5.
Nice. I also have them as a loss. 4-5.
All right. Well, they're going to have to come back on a short week. And this is the I don't know if what this is. This is the we traded you the first pick, and now we have your first pick bowl. This is week 10, November 9th. On Amazon against the Carolina Panthers. And I have the Bears winning and getting to 5-5.
Ooh. I have the Bears continuing their losing streak. This is their third loss in a row, and they lose to the Panthers.
I'm gonna go win here. I don't think Bryce Young is he's not long for Yannick Ngakoue and the bunch.
What if it's a Andy Dalton revenge game?
I might have to flip then. I might have to.
Who's getting the revenge? Bears getting revenge on Andy Dalton. You son of a bitch! It wasn't my fault. I didn't even want to play. The bald dope with the visor made me play. Okay, you're right, Andy. That's true.
But will the crowd be chanting Andy, Andy, specifically for you again?
I think so. Just, hey, he's probably at home listening.
Probably.
Let's see. Well, this is a Pus Terry goes first, right? Week 11.
Yep.
At Detroit, noon, Fox. Not Thanksgiving. Thank God.
Thank God. So the Lions seem to be a trendy pick. People seem to like the Lions.
Isn't that just the dumbest?
And we all know the Lions are just always much worse than anybody expects them to be. But they're just good enough today. And the Bears lose their fourth game in a row.
All right. Perez?
Losing streak here.
I'm with Pusateri on this one. This one is also a loss. This might be David Montgomery's revenge game.
I also have the Bears losing. I think that Amon-Ra will outduel Equanimous in the battle of the St. Brown boys. Daryl Johnston. I always thought his name was Equanimous until Daryl called him Equanimous several times to correct me.
You should get Bruce Levine to do a pronunciation check for you. I'm sure he's got to figure it out.
Equanimous is out with some cartridge issues.
An ink cartridge? Didn't I forget?
Mm-hmm. So here's my issue with all the coverage on the Lions. And it's they keep talking about how they haven't won a playoff game in 30 years. Mm-hmm. Now, that's true. But that's not the stat. The stat is that they've only won one playoff game since 1955.
Yep.
78 years they've won one postseason game. Don't let them off easy with the 1-30.
Yeah.
Can I give you one other nugget on the Lions history that I brought up before? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have won a division containing the Bears, Packers, Vikings, and Lions more recently than the Detroit Lions have. The Detroit Lions haven't won this division since, I believe, 1990.
Yeah. And I remember that. That was Wayne smoking his fucking cigar on Monday Night Football. The Bears were losing.
Oh, yeah. Bombs.
All right, I'll take – this is Prez. Week 12, November 27th at Minnesota. This is Monday Night Football in front of Joe and Troy at 7:15.
Now – here's a little conundrum with this game is, do we think there's a chance that Kirk Cousins might be traded before? If he is, you know, that's his prime time Kirk that he would be playing in this game if he's still there.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume that he's still there because superstar quarterbacks don't often get traded midseason. Or I shouldn't say superstar quarterback when talking about Kirk Cousins, but quarterbacks of his caliber don't often get traded midseason. We know what he's like in prime time. I'm going to go win for the Bears. I think they sweep the Vikings.
He is terrible in prime time. And mm-hmm. I didn't take that into account, and I have the Bears losing. So, to go 5-7.
I have the Bears losing at home in week 6. I can't have them losing the Vikings twice, so I got them winning that game to go to 5-7.
All right, so we've reached the bye. I have them 5-7. Mike Pusateri has them 5-7. Prez, what do you have the Bears?
6-6.
6-6. You're the optimist in the bunch.
Okay.
But I got to tell you guys, the Bears are they're about to go on a roll. I can just tell you.
You can feel it.
So after the bye, which they strangle to a draw, week 14, December 10th, home against those frisky Lions. It's a noon kickoff on Fox. Bears win.
Again, I can't have them losing to the Lions twice either. So I got the Bears winning that game. I'm with you.
All right.
I'm going Bears win as well. Indoor team playing in the cold. Give me the Bears.
Week 15, Don't even know which day yet. It could be the Saturday. It could be the Sunday. Mm-hmm. Don't know the network. But we know they're going to Cleveland, where Justin Fields hopefully won't have horrible flashbacks to the worst game plan in NFL history when he was nearly destroyed. His career was nearly strangled in the crib thanks to the incompetence of Matt Nagy, who should have literally been fired at halftime. He should not have come back out of that locker room, but he did.
Yep.
No.
I believe this is Mike Pusateri. You can go first on this one.
So this is the time of the year we're going to see a lot of graphics that have the Bears in the hunt at 6-7. Big game, and it's on the road, and they are not. They are going to disappoint. They're going to lose to the Browns to go 6-8.
All right.
I got this one as a win, and I'm. You know what? I'll give you another Diablo take here. By the time this game happens, let's just say Deshaun Watson may run into some trouble with the authorities again. He might not be playing in this game.
I have the Browns rubbing out a win. Beating the Bears. Bears
rubbing out a win.
Bears
well
fall.
Done.
Hey,
well done.
I'm getting heckled.
Oh, Andy?
I'm just waiting for Luke to stop barking. Lucas! All right, buddy. Good. No, I think we're done. All right. He's very excited. Week 16, he hates Deshaun Watson. I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I didn't want to pick him either. Week 16, Christmas Eve. Home game against the Arizona Cardinals on Fox, 3:25 kickoff. Mm. Give you plenty of time to get some eggnog in you or whatever. Win. Cardinals are awful. Bears go to 7-8.
Yep, 7-8. The Bears have a Merry Christmas.
All right.
All righty. That puts me at 9-6 with a win. Yeah, the Cardinals are going to be ass this year.
This is Matt Eberflus coach of the year. New Year's Eve. Home against the Atlanta Falcons. Noon kickoff on CBS. Mike Pusateri.
Bears are still getting that with the in-the-hunt graphics, and they take a massive dump and lose to the Falcons. 7-9.
You get Desmond Ridder ruining the Bears season.
Oh, my God.
Ruining the Bears' new year.
I can't pick against the Bears here. The Atlanta Falcons are not a team I have taken seriously since they blew the 28-3 lead. Give me the Bears.
It was Ryan Pace. Do the weird... Like just kind of like slowly stick his head in the door jam.
I hope to see that gif, that meme a lot from you this season.
Yeah, I think he does, and he wishes he'd stayed home because the Bears win to go to 8-8, setting up Week 18, either on January 6th or 7th in Green Bay, with a winning or losing season on the line, according to me at least. Mike Prasnowski.
All right. This one feels like whatever fate the Bears might have for the season will likely be wrapped up. They either know that 10-6 is good enough, or they possibly have a playoff spot wrapped up. I'll be the optimist here as far as the entire season goes. This is also going to be a game where the Green Bay Packers are going to come out and say that this is like their big statement game, because this, I don't see them being a good team this year, but this is like the big statement they make going into next year. I'm going with a loss Week 17 in Green Bay.
All right, so this week one, according to me, the Bears, Packers, you know, they bookend the season. The Bears, all the hype, all the excitement, and the Bears disappointed the fans. They lost in week one. Now you get there, they got to trudge it up to fucking Lambeau. Of course, it'll be at night. For some reason, these games now are always at night.
And you know George will bring Virginia up there, too.
Yeah, he's got to drag poor mom up. He'll put a mirror under her, see if she fogs it up after she gets out of the car. And you're just like, oh, this could be ridiculous. And the Bears, led by the great Matt Eberflus, turn it all around and leave us, maybe even sneak into the playoffs with the big win. They go 9-8, a 6-win improvement
My
over
goodness.
That mess of a season that was mostly on purpose last year. Bears go to Green Bay. They got their they've got their team finally all together. They've had a whole season to, you know, figure all their shit out. They go up there, they kick the shit out of the Packers, and they finish the season 9-8.
So in my world, Bears fans are saying we beat the Packers in week one. We started off 3-2. We're looking good. Somehow now we're 7-9. We got to go up to the damn Packers. We've got to win this game or this entire season has been a loss. They do not bring Virginia, but they do bring a Virginia hologram to the McCaskies. So they're pulling out all the stops and with uh-oh, everything on the line.
It was a rental. Sorry, baby Billy.
With everything on the line, the Bears lose and finish the season 7-10, and that is going to send Matt Eberflus on his merry way.
Do they hire Bill Belichick then? They outbid the Chargers?
I rule nothing out.
We found out through one of your Remember the Crap episodes they did have consideration for him at one point.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, so Mikey, sir, you have them 7-10. Prez?
7-10.
10-7?
10-7, yep.
And I have them 9-8.
Okay.
So there you go. Everybody can run to your DraftKings app and bet accordingly.
So you and I have them finishing over their biggest win total.
Yes.
Then. It's 7.5 is what
Mike has them a half game under.
Half game
so
under.
So now as we roll to our, instead of in the past we've gone through and done every over under, but because we're doing the schedule and we had to do the hot spicy takes, I've just to ask you guys if any of the over unders tickle your fancy, but I guess we can say that for the Bears, two of us have an over and one of us have an under.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I will say that the one that jumped off the DraftKings sportsbook and daily fantasy app to me, boy, see how I worked that in seamlessly the entire time?
That was pretty good, yeah.
The New York Giants, it's at 7.5 wins. I think they can win 8 games, right? I mean, I'd probably do for a little regression, but yeah. So I would go over with the Giants.
Okay.
Possibly. That division's going to be a gauntlet, though, between the Cowboys, Eagles, and them. And I also got Washington improving, too. So,
yeah, cause I have them over at 6.5. That's a nice, that might be a nice, if you like them at all, 6.5 is a pretty good, that's a low bar to clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So for me, three teams really stood out for me. One of them, Detroit at 9.5. No fucking way. You got to go under on Detroit. Detroit is just too. We've seen Detroit. We have seen this movie far too many times. They ain't getting to 10 wins. So I'm going.
I have them under.
If you have Detroit under, who do you have winning the NFC North in that case? Because you clearly don't have the Bears. You're probably not going to have the Lions with that. Do you have Minnesota or Green Bay?
Well, the Lions could win it, and 9 wins could win it.
Okay.
I'm not saying that they will, but 9 could do it.
Gotcha.
Go ahead. I'll get to
it. No, go.
I was just going to say, because we were in that division, I think the Packers at 7.5 is too low. I would pick the Packers over.
Yeah, I can see that, too. They have a pretty easy schedule. One that I did like before today, a team that I think people were sleeping on was Los Angeles Rams at 6.5. But now that Cooper Kupp is out for the year, probably ain't going to happen.
Now, is he out for the year? He's on IR, but he's on IR designated to return, right? After he sees his body specialist.
Yeah, right.
Yes. But still, it's a bad.
I have the Rams. I have the Rams going over at 6.5 too. I think Stafford is healthy. He was injured last year. I mean, he won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Obviously, a lot of changes. 6.5 in LA. That no way.
That does seem pretty low. Yeah,
that's pretty low. I like the over there.
I have
might
an
still be
I,
one worth taking.
How about this? I just did these independently. I have an entire division under, and I have an entire division over.
Ooh.
Any guesses on the under?
Entire division under. Well,
not the NFC North.
No.
Correct. Yeah. All right. under, I'm going to say the NFC South.
Yep.
In my opinion, that's the worst division in football. Yep.
Atlanta 8.5, Carolina 7.5, New Orleans 9.5, and Tampa 6.5.
Okay.
And I went through them all, and I went under. And then over, I think a lot of people, if you have a division that's over, I think a lot of people have this one, the AFC West.
AFC West, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Kansas City 11.5, Denver 8.5. I almost called them the Clippers. The Chargers 9.5. And Vegas, yeah, 6.5. Vegas would be the one I would worry about at 6.5.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Buffalo at 10.5 seems low to me, too. That seems like an over.
Yeah, I'm going. I don't know if that I would
you took
bet
the
that,
Dolphins to win that division. Right, Chris?
I got the Dolphins to win the AFC East. They were the I think Tua stays healthy this year.
They were the only team in that division I had under. For that reason, I think Tua gets hit in the head and he spends a few months in the blue tent.
A few months.
Months.
Is Tua still in the tent? Guys, get him out of the tent. He likes it in there. He's.
They just put the tent intact on the plane and fly it to the next.
The team runs for the opener. The team runs out of the tunnel and Tua runs right into the tent. Where is he?
Like,
he's already in
like
there?
Like Jay Cutler running to the other sideline against the Giants.
So I think Jay was just demanding a trade. One of my conspiracy theories on the Bears was debunked, at least sort of. So Jaquan Brisker hadn't practiced for like a month.
Right.
And today was the day that they had to come out with their initial injury report. And the thought was that since he's going to play, they just wouldn't put him on the report. And the reason they wouldn't put him on the report is they wouldn't want anybody to know what happened to him. And I was thinking, well, if they don't want anybody to know, I mean, yes, if it's a body injury, you target it. I'm thinking, he has a history of concussions. I'm like, he's got it. He had a concussion. Which would really suck because as a safety who's got to stick his head in everywhere, if you're already year two, you have concussion problems. It's bad. Yeah. Thankfully, maybe not for him. Groin. That's what he's on
groin,
the list with.
Right.
Oh no,
different head.
Also not great for a safety, by the way. But yeah,
no,
right. Or yes. Let's see others. I have. I like Denver over the 8.5. Just because
I'm with you on that
Nathaniel
one.
Nathaniel Hackett gone.
See, I go under on that. I think they're going to be a train wreck.
And I feel like this is kind of Lions-y, but I like the Jags over 9.5.
Ooh, that's bold.
Wow.
I think that's bold.
I think they go 10-7, so I would go.
They're probably going to be the only good team in that division. So,
yeah,
because
I have Indy under 6.5, running around with their rookie quarterback running the wrong way. And really fast, but the wrong way most of the time.
Let's go with the Hard Knocks team, the Jets. 9.5. I hate to say it, I got them over.
I had them over.
I like that defense. Yeah.
It's funny watching the show and all this stuff. As much as I hate him, and I do, I just think he's a prick. Just awful.
He is.
I think Aaron Rodgers probably is the best thrower I've ever seen in my life.
There's no question. He's one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
One of the best who's ever.
And he still, And he still can do it.
He could still do it great.
Yeah.
He still can.
And now it's great because it'll torment the fucking Packer fans if he's still good.
Which will be great.
This is true.
Which will be great.
I mean, you think about like just about any Tom Brady game you've ever watched. It's mostly all like 10 to 15 yard passes. You don't really think of like a deep ball when you come to him, but there are some deep balls that come to mind when you think of Aaron Rodgers. Week 17 against the Bears in 2013.
I just thought of a spicy take that I didn't have on my thing. This could have been my Diablo take.
Okay.
How about this? Justin Fields will catch will catch an opponent off sides and throw a deep pass, and for once, the officials will not blow the play dead.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I like it.
How many times has he been ready to do it? And it's tweet, 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 tweet. It's like, no. What are you doing?
If it was Aaron Rodgers, you
wouldn't have stopped it.
I thought you were going to say Justin Fields will catch a bouquet at a wedding and will be we'll get engaged.
And Tara's rotator cuff doing it.
All right, so the last thing, and since we've talked about it enough, people probably know how we already did this. And the spread does not leave a lot to the imagination. The Bears are 1-point favorites over the Packers. So I think we know how we've all picked because we all picked. But how about the over-under? 42. Is this game going over or is it going under?
Boy, interesting. I gotta say it's going under.
I think I go under as well. It's, you know, like first serious game for both teams. Under.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going over then. If you two say under, I'm going over. We're running,
nice.
Running to the app, and I'm going to bet the ranch.
The ranch dressing.
Please bet responsibly.
All right. Well, good job, everybody.
All right.
I think the season has been thoroughly previewed.
Yes.
Happy to be here. Thank you guys so much for bringing me along with you for the season.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Many of us have herpes.